Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 21st of September, the European Court of Human Rights blames Russia for the killing of Kremlin critic Alexander Litvinenko. Canada's Liberal Party wins a federal election but fails to secure a majority. And Pope Francis sends a letter to a theological congress sponsored by the Passionist Order in the Vatican. I'm Lydia O'Kane. The European Court of Human Rights has blamed Russia for the killing of Kremlin critic Alexander Litvinenko. The former Russian spy died in London in 2006 after drinking tea laced with a radioactive substance. Tuesday's ruling came as British police announced that they are charging a third Russian suspect in the 2018 nerve agent attack on another ex-Russian agent in England. Stefan Boss reports.
The Strasbourg-based European Court of Human Rights effectively backed the conclusion of a British inquiry that Russia was responsible for the killing of Alexander Litvinenko. The former agent for Russia's secret service KGB and the post-Soviet successor agency FSB defected from Russia in 2000 and fled to London. While in Britain, Litvinenko became involved in exposing corruption and links to organized crime in the Russian intelligence service. He fell violently ill on November 1, 2006, after drinking tea with two Russian men at the London hotel. Litvinenko spent 3 weeks in the hospital before he died. His tea was found to have been laced with polonium-210, a rare radioactive isotope. The British inquiry concluded in early 2016 that Russian agents Andrei Lukovoy and Dmitry Kovtun had killed Litvinenko. Investigators also concluded that President Vladimir Putin had probably approved the operation. Litvinenko's widow Marina took the case to the European Court, which backed the British conclusion in its verdict on Tuesday. In a statement, the court stressed there were strong indications that in poisoning Mr. Litvinenko, Mr. Lukovoy and Mr. Kovtun had been acting as agents of the Russian state. It also noted that the Russian government had, in its words, failed to provide any other satisfactory and convincing explanation of the events or counter the findings of the UK inquiry. Both Lukovoy and Kovtun deny any involvement in the killing. Marina Litvinenko said the ruling about the circumstances surrounding her husband's death sent a strong message.
The most important what we received now is the Russia state responsible for this crime.
The court ordered Russia to pay her 100,000 euros, some $117,000 in damages and €22,500 in costs. But the Kremlin brushed aside the European Court's verdict, with a spokesman saying they were not ready to take such rulings on board. Tuesday's ruling came while British police charged a third Russian suspect with poisoning another former Russian agent in England. Scotland Yard said prosecutors believe there is sufficient evidence to charge Denis Sergeyev, who went by the alias Sergei Fedotov, with conspiracy to murder, attempted murder, possessing and using a chemical weapon, and causing grievous bodily harm. Former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia were targeted in a nerve agent attack in March 2018 in the English city of Salisbury. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau hung on to power on Monday following an election as his main rival conceded defeat, saying he had won a clear mandate to govern, although he fell short of his goal for a majority win. Sister Carmelan has this report.
Justin Trudeau, who has been in power since 2015 with a minority government, decided to gamble on an early vote and capitalize on his government's handling of the COVID pandemic, which included massive spending to support individuals and businesses and a push for high vaccination rates. But despite winning this election, he will end up where he started after an unexpectedly tight race. Conservative leader Erin O'Toole, whose party placed second, conceded defeat as results came in late into the night. Trudeau spoke to supporters shortly after, pledging to work with other parties for the good of all Canadians. polls reported results much more slowly than usual, with some stations forced to limit occupancy due to COVID-19 restrictions. Long lines forced some electors to wait hours to vote in southern Ontario, a critical background. The Liberals are expected to win 156 seats, short of the 170 seats needed for the majority Mr. Trudeau was seeking with his early election call. The Conservatives have held on to their main opposition status and are set to win about 122 seats. Justin Trudeau, son of the former Liberal Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, swept to power in 2015, but the Liberals dropped to a minority in 2019. Amid a fourth wave of COVID-19, Trudeau backed vaccine mandates, while O'Toole, 48, opposed them, preferring a combination of voluntary vaccinations and rapid testing to stop the spread of the virus. I'm Sister Carmelan.
Church leaders from across Central and Eastern Europe met Tuesday in the Polish capital of Warsaw for the third day of a conference on safeguarding the Church's most vulnerable members. Participants in the conference, organised by the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, spent the day exploring how the suffering caused by clerical sexual abuse impacts both the lives of survivors and theology. Devon Watkins has more.
Participants in the four-day conference continued their work on Tuesday, seeking to better understand the impact that sexual abuse by members of the clergy has on survivors and how the Church can move forward in protecting her most vulnerable members. The event is being held in the Polish capital of Warsaw until Wednesday and sees around 80 representatives from nearly 20 nations in Central and Eastern Europe taking part. Tuesday morning session began with a keynote by Father Grzegorz Staraszczyk, a Polish professor of dogmatic theology and a member of the St. Joseph Foundation, which helped organize the event. His speech focused on the theological dimensions of the consequences of sexual abuse of minors. Father Staraszczyk admitted that much of the Church's response to abuse cases centers on the legal, psychological, and spiritual aspects, while theological reflection gets pushed to the background. However, he added, theology must enter into the discussion in order to fully understand the scourge of clerical sexual abuse. The act of faith, along with its transmission, said Father Staraszczyk, has a direct impact on the spiritual and psychological effects experienced by those who have been hurt. Faith, since it is mediated, he said, is dragged into the crisis by the collapse of the credibility of the witness. Scandal leads to distrust. At the same time, theology plays another important role, said Father Staraszczyk, since abuse implies the presence of unhealthy elements of theology, especially regarding the sacrament of holy orders. Bishops who covered up abuse by priests served only to aggravate the pain of abuse survivors and wound the Church's credibility. If the failure of a pastor's personal witness could have been somewhat filled by institutional or community witness, said the Polish priest, the collapse of institutional authority left only a desert. Father Staraszczyk concluded his keynote address with a reminder that the Church, by her very nature, is a community journeying along a path of conversion. An essential element of that path, he said, is properly celebrating penitence in order to effect an authentic transformation in the Church's ministers and structures. I'm Devon Watkins.
Paweł Wilinski, a professor of criminal procedure and judge at the Polish Supreme Court, spoke to Vatican News about the conference, highlighting the key points raised during the discussions.
We spoke about the situation of victims of paedophilia in the Church. We spoke that we need to create a system of protection. We say the basic rights for the victim, for minors, for vulnerable persons, for those that have been harmed by pedophilia. Many things have been done already for last years, and many guarantees have been introduced. However, it seems that if we speak about the victim, so the person that is in the central of the situation, there is lots of things that should be think of, and a lot of instruments that should be introduced to make them feel that they are still a members of the Church. We spoke about basic principles for victims, which consists of the right to information, understood as a right to give information about their situation and right to receive information from the Church about the procedure, about the verdict, about their situation, also procedural situation. Then about the right to representation, including legal representation of someone who will take care about their position. We spoke about right to protection, protection of the person from the second victimization, from protection of their personal data, including special ways of hearing, participating to the procedure. And we spoke about right to compensation, which is also inevitable if we want to have this victim being and feeling still a member of the church. That was the basic topic of the debate, and the topic of the debate that should be discussed, and I believe that it will be discussed in the future.
The United Nations is marking International Day of Peace today. On the day he opened the United Nations General Assembly, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for a 24-hour ceasefire and is urging all people to choose peace for a better future for humanity. Robin Gomes has this report.
The theme of the September 21st International Day of Peace this year is Recovering Better for an Equitable and Sustainable World. The annual observance was established by the UN General Assembly in 1981. In 2001, it unanimously voted to designate the day as a period of non-violence and ceasefire. In a message for Tuesday's observance, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres notes that COVID-19 has turned our world upside down. Conflicts are spinning out of control. The climate emergency is worsening. Inequality and poverty are deepening. And mistrust and division are driving people apart at a time when solidarity and collaboration are needed more than ever. The human family, Guterres says, is faced with a stark choice, peace or peril. We must choose peace, he urges, saying this is why he called for a 24-hour ceasefire to mark International Day of Peace. By working in solidarity for a lasting, sustainable peace every day, Guterres says, we can tackle the issues facing us. I am Robin Gomes.
And finally, in a letter to the head of the Passionist Order, Pope Francis says he hopes an international theological congress will contribute to a renewed understanding of contemporary challenges in light of the wisdom of the cross. Christopher Wells reports.
Pope Francis has penned a letter to Father Joachim Rego, the Superior General of the Passionists, on the occasion of an international theological congress on the wisdom of the cross in a pluralistic world. In his letter, the Holy Father says the Congress corresponds to the desire of St. Paul of the Cross, the Passionist founder, to ensure that the Paschal mystery, the center of the Christian faith, and the charism of the Passionist religious family is proclaimed and disseminated in response to divine charity, and that it addresses the expectations and hopes of the world. The Pope says that in contemplating Jesus on the cross, we see every human dimension embraced by God's mercy. God's love, he continues, extends to every human person and reaches the extremes of the human condition. Theology, therefore, is invited to address the most fragile and concrete conditions of men and women, avoiding polemics and agendas, to confidently seek the precious seeds that the Word scatters amidst the jagged and sometimes contradictory plurality of cultures. Pope Francis insists that the cross is a source of salvation for peoples of every place and every time, and especially at times like our own, when humanity is at a crossroads. Finally, Pope Francis expresses his hope that the Theological Congress will contribute to a renewed understanding of contemporary challenges in light of the wisdom of the cross. I'm Christopher Wells.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Thank you for joining us.